The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Flypod.com. I'm Mark DeWitt. Welcome to Cover to Cover. Today we have the author, Katarina Bivol. She has a brand new book, and it's her first book. It's called The Readers of Broken Wheel Recommend. Katarina, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Well, you know what? Sweden. That's where you're from. Is that correct?
Yes, that's where I'm from.
All right.
I've traveled a long way to come here.
Well, you know, in this book, the Readers of Broken Wheel, and we'll talk more about it here real soon, but you have a lot of American authors in this book in Sweden.
Yes.
What do you read there? I mean, do you read the same type of books that you write about in the Readers of Broken Wheel Recommend, or what do you read?
We read a lot of American books. Swedish books, traditionally, mainly crime. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, of course. Nowadays, more feel good as well, A Man Called Ove, but we read lots of American books. I sort of grew up with American literature.
How about like from the UK?
Yeah, we read English books as well, but more American, I would say.
And why is that?
Because they're good. I'm imagining it's the same reason you read American books.
Well, you know, because I read all books. I mean, the Readers of Broken Wheel Recommend. I mean, this is a fun book.
Thank you.
Amy and Sarah, talk to me about who is Amy and Sarah. And they kind of have a pen pal friendship going on.
They have for about 2 years before the book starts. They've been exchanging letters, books, book recommendations, thoughts about life, literature, everything basically. And they've been writing back and forth to each other and in a way kept both of them company. Sarah has been working in this bookstore, and that's basically all she does. She works and she reads, but then, of course, also sends these letters to Amy.
And how about Amy?
Amy is a around 65-year-old woman living in this small dying town called Broken Wheel. And for her, as it turns out when the book starts, the letters from Sarah is sort of the last thing she does in life.
Broken Wheel, a real town, fictional town?
Very fictional.
In Iowa?
Yes, in Iowa.
Did you base it on any town that you've visited, or did you maybe look online with some towns in the States? I mean, how did you come up with Broken Wheel? There's a lot of corn and soybeans.
That it is. I made it all up. I think it's one of the best things about being a fictional writer, that I get to do that. And when I started writing the book, I had never been to the U.S., and I had never been to Iowa. In fact, I only knew two things about the state. I knew, of course, they had lots of corn, and I knew that they had once had a library cat named Dewey Read More Books. And if you haven't read that book, it's a lovely story.
Yeah, Dewey the Cat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what more do you need to know about the state?
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, as long as you have like a cat like Dewey, I mean,
exactly.
It's a popular library too, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay, now, with this town, tell me about the town. I think there's one stoplight, and I don't even know if it needs a stoplight.
Not really. And it's this type of town that's been slowly dying for decades. People are moving away, times are tough, and times have been tough for quite a long time.
Now, I don't want to give too much away from the book, The Readers of Broken Wheel Recommend, but in the beginning, we see Sarah coming to Broken Wheel, Iowa.
Yeah.
And she's by herself. She's waiting for Amy. Amy does not show up.
No.
Amy has really passed away, unfortunately.
Yeah. So we have our poor little book nerd. This is her first true adventure in life. She's never done anything interesting, never done anything brave until now, when she's decided to sort of cross the Atlantic and visit her pen pal. And she was planning to spend 2 months just hanging out, talking about books, meeting her friend. And then she turns up just in time for her friend's funeral. So she's all alone in this strange little town. There's barely any shops open. There's barely anything left. But there is, of course, all the people that Amy has been writing about in her letters. And I guess you could say they sort of decide to adopt her. They're strange Swedish tourists.
You know, I always thought it would be kind of fun if I were a writer. I think that's probably one of the hardest jobs ever, is writing, especially a novel. I think I could get maybe a few paragraphs in, maybe 3 pages, and I'm finished. I'm done. I don't want to write anymore. But how fun would that be to get somebody to love this person? Now, unfortunately, and the readers of Broken Wheel recommend, we really don't see Amy that much. We've read a letter or two, and we found out a little bit about her. It's not like she's like one of us.
No.
But she's, you know, she dies. Why did you not maybe let the reader get to know her more?
It's an interesting story, actually. I had no idea what I was doing when I started writing this book. I basically just dived right into it and hoped for the best. And one of the things that's difficult when writing is that, or at least it is for me, I love my characters. I love spending time with them. One of the best things with being a writer is that it's sort of a socially acceptable way of having imaginary friends. I talk to them in my head. But you also have to be so incredibly mean to characters. I mean, the thing about plot is basically you create desperate characters that really want something, and then you make sure that they don't get it for hundreds of pages. And then, of course, you make sure that things turn up even worse. So in the beginning, I was much too nice to my characters. They didn't experience enough problems. So in my very first draft, Amy was alive when Sarah got there. So Sarah went all this way to visit Amy, and then she did. And absolutely nothing happened for a very long time. They talked about books, which is fun in real life, but it's not enough if you're reading it in a book. And then Amy drove Sarah places, and then she drove her back, and then she drove her different places, and then back, and absolutely nothing happened. So I was talking to my sister, telling her that my beginning didn't work. And when I say beginning, I mean the first 150 pages. And somehow or another, we sort of looked at each other, and my sister said to me, "You have to kill Amy. Amy has to die."
Huh?
Exactly. So I killed Amy. But I love Amy. But for me, the letters was a way to sort of keep her in the story.
So what's that like? I mean, here you have had this person in your head for quite a while. Now, when you went to the supermarket or store or out and about, did you pretend like you were Amy and Sarah? Or how does that work?
No, I talk to them a lot in my head.
So for you, it was almost like a real death.
Yes, definitely.
Were you how depressed were you, if at all?
Well, I mean, I think when people we love die, it doesn't really feel real. So we keep remembering what they would have said, and we keep imagining what they would do, which is basically writing anyway, placing a person and then imagining what would they do in this situation. So while she was dead in the story, and that did cause me a certain amount of grief, she was still alive in my head. So, I mean, to this day, I still talk to her occasionally.
So, do you see yourself writing another book about maybe Broken Wheel, or is this kind of just a one-time thing?
I'm not sure. I mean, the thing about sequels is that the first thing you have to do is to break up all the happy endings you've created. And you have to start afresh with new problems. And I find that very difficult. And as a book nerd, a sequel has to be so incredibly good not to sort of spoil the experience, ruin the experience of the first book. There's nothing worse than bad sequels. And of course, if they're good, that's sort of like a bonus, but it's a challenge.
Oh, Katarina, I mean, this book here, I mean, it's a New York Times bestseller, an international bestseller. I mean, how can you go wrong with continuing this?
That is true, though.
So
everyone in 26, it's been sold to some 26 countries, and perhaps everyone would hate the new book.
So what was it like the first time that you saw your book in print? You're a brand new author, and the first time that it went international?
Well, the first time I held a printed copy in my hand, I was standing in the lobby of my Swedish publisher, and naturally I had to open it and I had to sniff it, because I have this thing about how books smell and the smell of books. So I had to smell my very own book. So I was sort of looking around me in the lobby, seeing if anyone was watching me, and then I just put my nose in my book and smelled it. But then I carried it with me for days. And not like if I left the apartment, the book followed, but if I went into the kitchen, I brought the book with me. When I went to bed at night, it slept beside me on the pillow. If I went away, of course I brought it. So it was just constantly with me.
You know, I kind of do that too. I mean, I kind of flip through the pages and just let the wind kind of blow me right
exactly.
in the face.
Exactly. It's an amazing smell.
Yeah, it is. So, as a first-time author, how did you get to where you are today? I mean, did you wake up one day and said, you know, I want to write a book?
In a way, I'd always known that I wanted to write a book, and I'd had this certainty that one day I'd do it. But I think sometimes when you're really sure about a dream, and you know you dream about doing this, somehow it's as if you expect it to come true automatically, like the book would just materialize, having been written without me having to put in any focused effort. I put in a lot of effort in other parts of my life, but not writing. I wrote, but like I spent a week with one idea, 3 weeks with another idea, started something, didn't finish it, and so forth. And I think I was maybe 25 years old, and I compared the time I had spent writing academic papers as a student to the time I spent working on my dream, writing a fictional novel. And I'd spent maybe 6 months studying, if you only calculated the time I'd spent writing full time. And like a week, 2 weeks, writing my novel. So I took a month off from work. I traveled around in Ireland, actually, while writing my American novel. And I just told myself, pick any idea. It doesn't have to be good. It doesn't have to be published. Just finish it from chapter one to the end.
How long did that take?
Well, it took me perhaps 6 months to finish the first draft. And then it took me a little longer to revise it. And then I sent it off to all the publishers and was, of course, universally rejected.
Well, that, you know, that's pretty good. I mean, I've heard of a lot of authors taking like a year and even 2 years to get that book and finish the first draft.
Yeah, maybe their first draft was better than mine.
Well, you know, I don't know. This is an international bestseller, so, you know.
Well, it is now, but it took me almost 4 years of rewriting until I landed my publishing contract. In fact, I think you could safely say that there isn't a publisher in Sweden, big, small, or medium, that hasn't at one time or another rejected my novel.
Really?
Including my current publisher.
What do you do then? I've heard of people that have tacked the letters up on the wall and they go by and they look at them, but it takes thick skin to be rejected so much. What did you do with your letters?
I saved them. Saved them all.
In like a little folder?
Yeah. I think thick skin, but I don't think anyone develops skin thick enough to handle rejection or even bad reviews. I think what it really takes is a certain amount of stubbornness or possibly not knowing better, just keeping at it anyway.
You got your first letter, rejection. Mm-hmm. Did you just wad it up? Did you tear it up? You just put it away, I guess, huh?
Yes, I did. And then, of course, I cried a little bit and I went out for a beer with my sister complaining about the publishing world not knowing greatness when they saw it.
Well, you know, Sarah goes out for a beer, too, and she's realizing now that that might be the cure of all the problems. Huh?
Exactly. And then she finds out the next morning, of course, that it isn't.
And my head kind of hurts. She sleeps with a book. You sleep with a book.
Exactly.
Although you probably don't have the imprint on your head, maybe.
No, I hadn't.
What kind of research did you have to do for the Readers of Broken Wheel recommend?
Did quite a lot of research, mainly books, of course, being a book nerd. So I read quite a lot of both fictional works set in Iowa and non-fictional works, of course, about Iowa. And I Googled a lot. But there's also an incredible amount in it that's just basically made up, how I imagine an American small town to be.
With the Readers of Broken Wheel, you have the town. It's not much of a town. You're young enough. Yep. Maybe you don't have a map of the town. Maybe you do. How do you remember where everything is?
I mapped it all out, where the different stores are and the different streets and approximately where the different houses are.
Are you pretty much like that, where you pretty much script everything out, or do you just go at it? And, you know, and I ask because I've heard of automatic writing, I guess, where you're at either a typewriter or a computer, and you're just writing, and the story just evolves. Does that happen to you, or is it more complex?
With the first book, it was very organic. I basically wrote whatever I felt like it, and in a way I had to because I worked I worked, of course, while writing it, so I mainly wrote on weekends and evenings, so it had to be fun. So, for example, I once spent one weekend writing this entire sequence, maybe 100 pages. That was a road trip that Tom and Sarah took together. Tom is another character in the book. You've read it, so you know that there is absolutely no road trip between Tom and Sarah, because it doesn't work. I mean, nothing happened. They basically just sat in a car for 100 pages. So naturally, it didn't even end up in the first draft, but I had such fun writing it. I wanted to imagine myself on an American road trip, so I did. Now I write full time, and I sort of feel that I can't waste several weeks writing 100 pages that won't end up in the manuscript.
What kind of job did you have before becoming an author? Was it at a bookstore?
I worked part-time in a bookstore for 10 years, perhaps, from when I was 14 or 15 or something. So, yes, really, I grew up in a bookstore.
So that's why this seems so real, I guess, because putting yourself and your experiences in the Readers of Broken Wheel Recommend, I mean, that makes it so real. How about, what do you do to make it so visual?
That's a great question. I guess, in a way, I see it in front of my eyes when I write. So I see the scene play out before me, and I see, of course, the store, and I see Sarah walking around in it and see what she sees and hears and smells. So in a way, it's just trying to capture what I see. It's frustrating sometimes because you can't just write it down the way you see it or the way it smells. You have to work, obviously. It's what you have to do as a writer.
Do you see it as a movie?
Yeah, pretty much. It would have been a very slow movie, of course, so
frame by frame, writing frame by frame.
An unedited movie.
Because, you know, the reason I ask is sometimes people, especially first-time authors, seem to over-describe places and things, and it just drags on and on. But this book, it seemed like there was always something happening.
Thank you.
How difficult is that?
It is difficult, of course, and it's difficult because you yourself is so very close to the text. You've read it so many times. So it's difficult to decide when enough. Do readers visualize this place, or do I have to add more description, or am I just dragging on for paragraphs and paragraphs?
The Readers of Broken Wheel Recommend. I mean, it's, like I said in the beginning, it has a lot of book titles and authors that Sarah has read, that Amy has in her house when Sarah finally goes into the bedroom. I mean, she's always stayed away from that bedroom because Amy has passed on. That was hers. Apparently somebody cleaned the bedroom, made the bed. But she opens it up, and it's like a treasure trove of books all over the place. Mm. What are one or two of your favorite authors that maybe you put in here? And I think it's too early for the author to know that their book and name is in your book. But have you heard from anybody?
Actually, I shared the same UK publisher with Fanny Flagg, which is mentioned several times in this book. Fried Green Tomatoes is one of my favorite books. So my English publisher sent her a copy of the book, and I actually listened to a phone message of her calling the publisher up, thanking her for sending her the book, and telling her that it had really cheered her up. And that was sort of a huge moment for me. It's one of my all-time favorites.
Wow, yeah. Did you save that message? I mean,
yes,
I would have put that on a CD or something,
right? I listened to it a lot. And, of course, I sent her a thank you note. It took me a ridiculous amount of time to write it, and it ended up being like 4 pages long.
Another book.
Yes, of course.
Did you hear back from her after she read it?
No, I haven't yet. Maybe the 4 pages, sort of.
Yeah, and I was wondering if she gave anything that you might do later on in your books. I mean, did she critique anything?
No, she was very kind.
I mean, you know, because you can be kind and critique things,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that
I
is
think.
True.
So that would have been cool. Fanny
that
Flagg,
would have been very cool.
Yeah.
I would
no
have
doubt.
Done anything she'd said.
So the Raiders of Broken Wheel Recommend. Of course, your brand new book right now, this is a novel taking place in Iowa. Do you have an idea maybe what's next for Katerina?
I think my next book is going to take place in Oregon. And I have actually been there. So this time I'll write about a place that I've actually visited.
So you've been to the States before, or is this on this current book tour?
No, I've been here a few times now.
So what do you like about America?
Oh, I love a lot of things about America. I love the roads, the highways, the vast size of it all, how friendly people are. I like certain American tradition of quirky characters, larger-than-life characters. And I think they're quite easy to find in real life as well. In fact, I was in New Orleans on this trip, and we were served at one of the restaurants by this incredible waiter. He was maybe 70-year-old, and he had a silver jeweler on his wrist that was also a harmonica. And he was just basically like a character right off a book. So we asked him, how long have you been in New Orleans? And he said, well, maybe 30 years. And so we asked, obviously, do you have family here? And he said, well, what do you think I got to New Orleans to get away from?
Well, that's pretty good. That's a good line right
there.
In a
book, yes, obviously. I'll use him one day.
When you go places and see unusual people, like maybe it's not unusual, but unusual people, things, what people have said, do you kind of put that back maybe and one day it might be in a book?
Oh, definitely. Oh. I write everything down and I always have like one small part of my mind thinking, can I use this in a book? How can I use this in a book? It's not always a nice trait being a writer. In fact, my friends claim they can see exactly the moment when I'm thinking about using something they've said in a book. My eyes sort of glaze over as I'm thinking, oh, where can I place this?
So do they say, you better not use that?
Sometimes they do, but I mean, I wouldn't use something very personal.
All right, we talked a little bit about America. What about Sweden? I've never been to Sweden. Mm. What is Sweden like? I mean, you said you like the roads here. Are they dirt roads, muddy? I mean, what's wrong with Sweden's roads?
Sweden has excellent roads as well, but they're not as big, and they don't go on for as long.
When I think of Sweden, I think of cold.
Mm-hmm. It is cold. In fact, now, it's not cold now. The sun is shining, it's warm, because obviously I've left the country. But before I left the country, it was snowing.
Really? So you leave, it turns warm.
Yes.
I mean, are people going to put that together and maybe say, Katarina, I think maybe you should go back to America, it's a little cold?
Yeah, I think so. Although not perhaps not Americans. It's also been raining on quite a few places in the U.S. I visited so far. I came here this morning and it's raining.
Yeah, no doubt. We've been getting some rain.
So I apologize.
We'll come back in August and it'll be bone dry, I guess. What is your favorite part in the readers of Broken Wheel recommend? I mean, what really stands out? What was maybe one of the most fun pieces in this book to write?
Oh, that's a good question. I'll only answer what was most fun to write, not the best part, because modesty forbids me, and I'm very Swedish in that way.
Well,
we don't brag.
Well, that's true. You probably don't want to give it away anyway, right?
No. But I like the most fun part to write was definitely I liked Caroline and her development, but also all the scenes that were sort of collected that involved the whole town, when the town came together to do different things.
Tom and Sarah, of course, you said early on you were thinking about doing a road trip. You X'd that. But they do go to the bar. I mean, that's kind of a road
trip. They drive around
in
the car. That is true.
And Sarah kind of warms up to Tom. And, you know, who knows if that's going to continue or not. I guess you'd have to read the readers of Broken Wheel recommend. You've got to find out what Sarah does in this small town. Is she going to stay? Is she going to maybe create a job with what she knows best? You know, you have to read the readers of Broken Wheel recommend to find out for sure. If I wanted to find out more about Katarina Bivald, I'm sure you have a website that we could go to.
Yes, I do indeed. It's www.katarinabivald.se.
You better spell that.
You can look up my name, but it's .se/en.
What do we see when we go to the website?
Well, there's a blog, so you can follow my American adventures so far, all the incredible bookshops I'm going to visit, and all the incredible bookshops I've already visited.
Things happening in Sweden. Do you ski?
I don't ski.
No, I'm sure there's skiing in Sweden.
There's a lot of skiing in Sweden, but then I'm a book nerd. So if it's cold, I use that as an excuse to sit indoors and read, as God has intended us to do.
Do you have a nice fireplace you kind of sit inside? And do you have a cat, maybe, like Dewey from Iowa?
I have no cat, but obviously I should get one.
There you go. All right, well, the readers of Broken Wheel recommend you're going to fall in love with the characters. Amy, you know, it's too bad she passed away. But, I mean, you know, it's going to make the story. Sarah has things to do. She's staying in Amy's house. Does she ever pay rent in this house? How long do they allow her to stay in this house? What does she do? You'll have to get the readers of Broken Wheel recommend. Katerina, thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me.
Been listening to Cover to Cover. I've been your host, Mark DeWitt, along with Katerina Duvall, author of her brand new book, The Readers of Broken Wheel Recommend.
To access this or other audio programming, visit our website, theflypod.com.